Our text is taken this morning from Job chapter 9. Job chapter 9, reading verses 1, 2, 20, and 33. Then Job answered and said, I know it is so of a truth, but how should a man be just with God? If I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse. If I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet shalt thou plunge me in the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. For he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. Last Lord's Day, we gave our 12th consideration in our study of the life of Job. Have we come to terms with the most basic issue between God and man? How should a man be just with God? We opened up this passage and we made some remarks upon justification before God. I want to look again, by way of introduction, at the language. How should a man be just with God? The term just is the Hebrew word for righteous and righteousness. How should a man be righteous with God? How should a man be right with God? The word man itself is very significant. In our English Bible, there are 10 different Hebrew words translated as man. This word is enosh. Enosh means mortal. It views man in his weakness and in his frailty. The ancient Septuagint or Greek Old Testament uses the term brotos, which means a mere mortal. The question is, from the mouth of Job, how can a mere mortal man, a frail man, man in his weakness, beset with his fallen sinful nature, beset with indwelling sin and corruption, how can this man be right with God? God is absolutely holy. God is absolutely righteous. The great chasm exists between man in his frailty and sinfulness and a God who is righteous, just, and holy. We traced the progressive nature of divine revelation. We saw that Job was just or right with God according to divine revelation in his day. We saw the truth prophesied throughout the Old Testament, and we saw it brought to finality through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this morning I want to make some remarks upon gospel justification. There are two passages of Scripture that are determining in Genesis chapter 3, subsequent to the fall of man. Genesis 3:15, a challenge to the serpent. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and he, not it, and he shall grind down your head, and you will gnaw at his heel. The promise of a Redeemer. The Protoevangelium, the first promise of the Gospel. Through the seed of the woman, the Redeemer was to come, who would reconcile God and man. Then we look at verse 21. And unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. Their fig leaves did not affect their sinful self-consciousness nor cover their nakedness. God then took the lives of innocent animals and made coats of skin to clothe Adam and Eve. He established at that point the principle of blood atonement as a covering for sin. We have in Genesis 3 immediately following the fall of man, the promise of a Redeemer, and the principle of blood sacrifice. These were the truths that sustained the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and sustained the patriarch Job, who officiated as the high priest of his family, as was true in the patriarchal era. Now we come this morning to the full truth of gospel justification through the person and work of our Lord. First, we will lay a scriptural foundation. Follow with me as I read. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. And he, that is Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. We have justification by faith anticipated in the very first book of the Bible. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. The just shall live by his faith. The prophetic ministry of the Old Testament now anticipates the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now to Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 24. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. The law demands absolute righteous perfection from man, and man as a sinner is then utterly condemned and unable to comply. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the epignosis, the true, complete, full knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law stands revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, that is the Old Testament prophetic scriptures, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ. This term, by faith of Jesus Christ, is an objective genitive in the original language, and we will henceforth translated correctly as by faith in Jesus Christ. Unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all sinned, pontes hemarton, not all have sinned, but all sinned in Adam, original sin. For all sinned and are constantly coming short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now to Romans chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. This is repeated from an earlier verse. God justifies the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. To Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. This is much stronger than our English Bible in the original language. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Paul reasons from justification to glorification. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. For he, that is God, hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Our final passage is Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Our message last week, our study concerning how should a man be right with God, we add to this morning with several questions concerning the full gospel significance of justification by faith. This has been called the very heart of the gospel. It marks out Christianity as unique among the religions of the world. It is the religion of divine revelation. The very heart of the gospel. That man is justified and declared right before God in his imperfection and sin through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are some doctrinal truths about which we must be absolutely certain. Regeneration, the new birth, being born from above, regeneration by the Spirit of God. Conversion, that is repentance and faith. Repentance from the past life, from dead works and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Conversion, not decisionism, not easy believism, but true conversion, life transforming conversion. Justification, being declared right with God, apart from the works of the law. Sanctification, which is inseparable from justification. Sanctification, holiness, in the Christian experience, the beginning of God's work conforming us to the image of God's Son. Understanding the truth and reality of justification is vital to our Christian experience and our assurance of faith. So we have this morning a series of questions that we will seek to amplify and explain that we might be able to grasp the reality of what it means to be right with God. Our first question, what is justification? I give a complicated answer, and then we will explain the major elements. Justification is a forensic and gracious act of God, wherein He pardons all the believer's sins, declares him to be righteous in His sight, by virtue of the righteousness of Christ imputed to him, and is received by and reconciled to God by faith alone. Justification is a forensic act. The word forensic means legal. It is God as judge declaring the believing sinner to be right or righteous in his sight. But this justification, gospel justification in the Word of God, is a revealed truth. What do we mean by that? A revealed truth is something that occurs in the Word of God alone and is not necessarily true to human relationships. In human courts, they seek to justify the righteous and condemn the guilty. God justifies the ungodly and the guilty through faith in Jesus Christ, apart from performing good works. It is a revealed truth. It is again a gracious act. God justifies us as undeserving sinners. We cannot earn a right relationship with God by our works or religious observances. We stand before God in the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Saving faith lays hold of Christ at the point of His righteousness. We will explain this in our further questions. Justification results then in pardon, forgiveness of all sins, reconciliation to God, and peace with Him. Question number two. What does justification presuppose? I'm going to take an aside for a few moments as I have time. I did not intend to speak about the Church of Rome and an infused righteousness by keeping the sacraments, which confuses justification and sanctification. Let me simply say that that is utter heresy. I did not intend to speak on perfectionism, but perfectionist doctrine is found in most systems of Christianity. It means that human nature, by self-effort, can be perfected. We hear people of this school speak about being saved. That is, I have embraced Jesus as my Savior, but now I am saved and sanctified. I have received the Holy Spirit. They believe that if you lose your sanctification, that is, if you sin, you also lose your justification, and once again you are a lost and condemned individual. They base justification on sanctification when the truth is that justification and sanctification are inseparable, and because we are justified, God through His Spirit sanctifies us and makes us holy in life. What does justification presuppose? It presupposes the utter, awful state of fallen, sinful mankind before a righteous, just, and holy God. We are sinners by imputation. Adam's sin is put to our account. We are sinners by nature. We inherited his fallen, sinful personality and nature. And we are sinners by personal transgression. We are utterly condemned before a righteous, just, and holy God, without hope, except there be a righteousness that we can lay hold of that answers God's claims. And that is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And saving faith lays hold of that. And it is imputed or put to our account. That is justification by faith. Justification presupposes the awful nature of sin, that every human being is utterly condemned before God. Sin as God views it, not as we view it. Our only hope is in a righteousness which answers God's claims, that righteousness which is found in Jesus Christ alone. Justification presupposes the absolute holiness and righteousness of God. To be justified before God, to use the language of Job, to be right with God, is our most basic and essential need. Now we ask, how was Job justified? He lived perhaps close to 2,000 years before the cross, before the death and suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. How was Job justified? And he was a justified man. At Job's point in redemptive history, he was justified as Abraham and the patriarchs were justified through faith in the shed blood of animal sacrifices. Listen carefully now. Such sacrifices, the blood of slain animals, if offered in faith to the one true God, rendered a man just before Him. This was true with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not mere blood sacrifice, for that would include the pagans with all of their superstition, but faith, offered in faith and offered to the one true God. In the progressive nature of redemptive purpose of God, this was justifying faith. It looked forward to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, to the promised Redeemer upon the principle of blood sacrifice. It is said that Old Testament believers looked ahead to the cross as we now in modern history look back to the cross of the Lord Jesus. Our fourth question, what is the cause and source of justification? The answer is the free and sovereign grace of God. It is God who justifies, and twice we read in Romans 4, God justifies the ungodly. The sinner, in faith, reaches out and lays hold of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. In evangelical terminology, he believes in the Lord. And the Lord imputes to him, in true saving faith, the Lord imputes to him the righteousness of Jesus Christ. A perfect righteousness wrought out by his active and passive obedience. And he is delivered from his sins, forgiven of his sins, pardoned, reconciled to God, and has peace with God. Justification by faith. The cause or source of justification is the free and sovereign grace of God. The source cannot be in us. We have no works to present before God. All of our righteousnesses, and I give the literal translation from the Old Testament, are as the rags of a minstrel's woman. Filthy rags, our English Bible calls it. Utterly polluted ceremonially. There is nothing we can do. Our best prayers, our best intentions, our religious sacrifices, our religious endeavors, all of these God utterly condemns. Man in and of himself is utterly incapable of reconciling himself to God. He is utterly condemned. He stands in need of a righteousness that God will accept. And God in His grace and mercy has provided this in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the cross of Christ standing in bold relief in human history to answer the man's question, how should a man be right with God? What is the ground or basis of our justification? The ground or basis is the active and passive obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. His active obedience refers to His impeccable, sinless life lived under the law, whereby He kept the demands of the law. His passive obedience, from the Latin passivus, which means to suffer, His suffering and death paid the law's penalty. Thus, in the Lord Jesus Christ and in Him alone, we have a perfect righteousness, the only righteousness that God will accept. How do we obtain it? Not by works, not by religion, not by efforts, but by believing, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that reconciles us to God. Listen to the Apostle Paul. But of Him, that is of God, by God's grace, by God's power, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth in the Lord, let him glory. If you have your Bible open to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. We have an untranslated particle between righteousness and sanctification, tekai. Tekai. It brings righteousness or justification and sanctification together as one and makes them inseparable. Whom God justifies, He likewise sanctifies. Those who are true believers are godly individuals by the grace and power of God's Spirit and truth. Our sixth question. What is the nature of justification? It is a declarative act, not a process. The Church of Rome teaches that by keeping the sacraments, we become righteous. Justitia infusa, an infused righteousness. But that confuses justification and sanctification. We are declared right. God looks at the believing sinner without any works. God looks at the believing sinner and declares him to be right or just in His sight. This separates Christianity. This is the good news. This is the euangelion. This is the gospel. The good news of salvation. Justification by faith. Justification is righteousness imputed or reckoned to our account. Sanctification is righteousness imparted, whereby God changes the personality and we are being conformed to the image and character of God. I want to consider for a moment Adam and our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize that when our Lord was born in Bethlehem, born of a virgin, lived among men, and finally was nailed to a Roman gibbet and suffered and bled and died for redemption, that He was not incarnated. He did not come into the human race as an individual man. The Bible calls Him the last Adam, the second man. He came as representative man. And His redemptive work applies to all those who are brought into union with Him. In Adam we fell. His sin was imputed to us. We also inherited His sinful nature. So we are predisposed to sin. We add to this our own personal transgressions. Sinners by imputation, sinners by nature, sinners by personal transgression. Our Lord came as the last Adam, the second man. His righteousness is imputed to believers, and through the gift of the Holy Spirit, we are not only justified, but we are in the process of being sanctified. Righteousness imparted, righteousness imputed. In sanctification, righteousness is imparted to us, and it is inseparable from justification. We live converted lives. God has made a great change in our behavior. We live for His glory. We live according to His Word. There is a dynamic through the gift of the Spirit of God. We're adopted. We receive God's Spirit. We are different. We are converted people. We are believers. And we have a corresponding lifestyle. Our seventh question, what is the means of justification? The answer is justification is by faith. Is it really that simple? Is it really that simple? We simply believe. Not mere human trust. Not the easy believism or decisionism of the day. That's mere human trust. We are told by some evangelists to tune in, turn on, and drop out for Christ. That's human trust. Saving faith is the gift of God. Saving faith is life transforming. Justification by faith is life transforming. Saving faith is instrumental, not causative. What do we mean by that? Justification is by or through faith, never because of faith. If justification were because of faith, if we come to God and say, look, I have faith, I do this and that to express my faith, and therefore you must justify me, then justification is a work. And faith is a work. And saving faith is mere human trust. And there are multitudes of professing Christians who believe just that, but they're unconverted. Saving faith is the gift of God, and it is life transforming. And now our final question, what are the benefits of justification? The first benefit of justification, of course, is we have peace with God. We are reconciled to God. Our sins are pardoned. All of our sins are forgiven. We are right with God. Inseparable from this is adoption. Adoption is a Latin term. Adoptio means to bring into the family. The Greek word is huiothesia, to place as a son. It refers to the believer's status. Through adoption, we are given the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's work in our lives is to conform us to the image of God's Son. That makes justification and sanctification inseparable. You cannot simply be justified. You cannot say, as many do, I made my decision for Jesus. I'm going to heaven when I die, no matter how I live, the carnal Christian. That's a false religious system. Those whom God justifies, He sanctifies. And ultimately, the benefit of justification is our glorification. Let me read when the Apostle Paul puts all of this together in Romans chapter 8. And we know that to the ones loving God, all things are constantly working together for good. To them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? God for us? Who against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall not He with Him also freely give us, lavish upon us all things? For who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Do you see the advertisements where we are to bundle everything together in our modern age? Do you think that's new? God has bundled salvation. It's all one. It's inseparable. You cannot be justified and not sanctified. You cannot be one with Christ by faith in Him and live a godless life or live in sin or take it lightly. God has bundled salvation, as it were. Those whom He justified, He also glorified. If you are able to grasp and lay hold of any biblical truth at all, it is justification from which radiates out all other aspects of biblical truth. I struggle in prayer. contemplate your justification. I am beset with indwelling sin and remaining corruption. Contemplate and study your justification before God. I am weak in faith. Look to Jesus Christ afresh and anew and contemplate your justification. Job asked the very basic, decisive question of all humanity. How should a man be just with God? How can a man be right with God? The truth is, through faith in Jesus Christ, a justifying faith that lays hold of that perfect righteousness wrought out by His active and passive obedience. And by faith, that righteousness is imputed unto us. Our sins are pardoned, they're forgiven. We are reconciled to God. We're at peace with Him. Justification, the heart of the gospel. Lord, we pray that You would bless Your truth. We pray for those here this morning that are apart from Christ. Lord, enable them to believe. Enable them to look and live. Stop them, we pray, in their sinful lives. Enable them to savingly look to Jesus Christ in faith, to be saved from themselves, to be saved from the reigning power of sin, to be vouchsafed unto Jesus Christ in His righteousness, to be reconciled to You, O Lord, and to be at peace. Lord, glorify Yourself, we ask now. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.